Yeah, there we go. All right. Is anybody new here in the group and wants to introduce themselves? Or those who haven't done that in a while may want to hop on the queue and reintroduce. We use the queue by just raising the hand or typing Q plus in Jitsi chat. Beth, go ahead.
Hi everybody, I'm Beth. I'm from Göbekli. I'm joining today just in part because Coyote had a conflict, so excited to see what and learn what's going on here in the group and see what's being presented today.
Thank you. Welcome. Glad to have another person from the Göbekli team. We love what they're doing.
Well, thank you. Yeah, we love being here, and I've heard great things about this group, so cool. Thanks for having me.
Anyone else want to hop on the queue? All right. In that case, let's move on to community announcements. Does anybody have announcements of conferences, webinars, and so on, coming up? We, of course, have IIW, the Internet Identity Workshop, coming up in April, I believe. Brooke, please.
One Ed Tech is coming to Phoenix next week, and the TLN is hosting a Solana event, wrapping up that conference. So if anyone's planning on coming in for One Ed Tech, please let us know, and we'd love to have you at our Solana event.
Excellent. Carrie, you're up next.
Awesome. Hi, everybody. I will definitely be stopping by that Solana event. I think TLN is awesome. And I'll also be at the One Ed Tech Digital Credentials Summit next week, on various sessions, one with Georgia Tech to talk about digital degrees, and all the challenges of applying open badges to that, with Credential Engine, talk about our issuer registry project, with Digital Promise to talk about open source badge issuing software, and a couple others. I'm sorry that I'm not forgetting in front of me. But one I think that is really interesting, though, will be a general session on trusted credentials and quality, and I'm really looking forward to that one specifically. So we can talk a lot about that. So I hope to see you all there too. It'd be great.
Thanks, Carrie. Sounds exciting. I can't wait to hear all about it afterwards. Anyone else with announcements? All right. In that case, let us move to our main agenda. We're pleased to have Kate Giovaccini and Carrie Lemoy and anyone else from their teams talk about the progress in the various open source wallets. Kate, over to you.
Thank you, Dimitri. It's with great pleasure that I actually turn the mic over to my colleague, Mariana Milkus, who's been the product manager over ASU Pocket for some time and has some terrific insights. Mariana?
Hi, everyone. Nice to be back here. We wanted to talk today about the fabulous collaboration that we had with DCC and the Learner Credential Wallet team. Dimitri, looking at you and Carrie, of course. I do have a presentation ready, so if you want me to go ahead and start sharing, I can do that. What do you think?
Yeah, please do. Looking forward to it.
All right, let me figure
And
this out.
Mariana, I just want to say that it's been such a pleasure working with you as a product manager in this space.
Thank you.
As I think a lot of us doing implementation know that it's all that aside from the data models and the protocols, it's really the day-to-day decisions by designers and product managers that are going to make all the difference to the actual usability in the field.
Well, thank you. And I do think that what we have achieved so far is really it's such a teamwork, such a collaboration. And I apologize if there's a screaming baby in the background because my baby is sick, so he's not too far. Okay, I'm gonna go ahead and share. Hopefully, I can figure it out. I'm not super fluent with team with Meet, but let's see. Okay, is this looking good?
Yes, we can see your screen. Go ahead.
Okay, fantastic. Okay, just give me 1 second. All right. So, yeah, so we wanted to talk about ASU and MIT DCC collaboration in creating ASU Pocket and MySkills Pocket, so the two wallets that we run out of ASU Enterprise Technology. And it's been quite a journey. So I will be inviting also Carrie to contribute and you, Dimitri, to contribute on some of the DCC aspects of this collaboration. So, of course, we have been working together for a while in a sort of consultation capacity and just stay in very close touch through TLM. But here's a kind of a quick introduction of what each of us are doing. So ASU Pocket, it's an edge-only verified credential wallet that turns accomplishments in work and learning into professional currency. We built it for learners to store, manage, and share verifiable credentials. And we built this version and this kind of final production version on top of the learner credential wallet's open source code base. We also have a second app, MySkills Pocket, that serves employment mobility use case. They both run of the same code base. I'll talk a little bit more about that later. And then, Carrie, do you want to talk about, I mean, obviously everyone here knows DCC, but do you want to say anything here?
Always, yeah. Thank you. Hey, everybody. So, yes, I'm Carrie Lemoy. I'm the director of the DCC, and the DCC was founded in 2018 to explore aligning education use cases with verifiable credentials. One of us over the years, I think Kim Duffy and then me and then Dimitri, we've sort of served as co-chairs in this group to sort of align the work with this group at VCID, to align the work with DCC. So as it says here, our aim is to advance the understanding and use of privacy-enhanced, portable, verifiable digital academic credentials. You all know what that means. We're talking about open badges and verifiable credentials. Most importantly, for this call today, we do this through open source technology development. What we love to do is put our software out there and then make it possible for anybody to use it without attribution, really just take it and build what you need out of it. And I'm going to like do the high level overview, but Dimitri actually spent quite a bit of time working with ASU on this. So he can also provide us the details on sort of like, you know, how this happened and the results of that. Go ahead. Take it from there, Mariana. Call me whenever you need.
Okay. Sounds good. A little bit, a very quick little backstory. As you all, well, some of you may know, we have been sort of working on the wallet for quite some time, and we played with various approaches and various technologies. And then at some point, we did realize that we do need to be really agile and really lightweight. We didn't want to get to a point where even simple pivots and bug fixes would take us a long time. So we wanted to get to the market as fast as possible because we do all know that it's really fun and this space is very exciting. It's a big sandbox, playroom that we're all in and we love it. But we deeply believe that our most impactful learning comes from accelerating to market. We wanted real use cases. We wanted real feedback, challenges, right? And to really understand, from people for whom we're building, are we building the right thing? How are they using it? So this collaboration allowed us to do that. I will get to this right away next. But it also allowed us to really focus on, kind of while we were giving the foundation, the technical foundation, from, you know, with experts like Dimitri, really thinking through all the technology and all the cases for the technology and how to make that happen. We were able to overlay, laser focus on UX and usability and ASU specific workflows over that base that allowed us to create something, we believe it's pretty special. So this is kind of the timeline. The general tenets of the collaboration. we worked very closely with Dimitri and his team on both the architecture and then code updates and changes. And we worked also very closely with DCC on sort of standards issues, figuring out all the edge cases and challenges that many of us are working on in implementation of verifiable credentials into the real world. This is a quick timeline of our collaboration. As you see, it's pretty tight. So we started basically from ground zero, absolutely nothing, in October 23, where we got the team together, both internal ASU team, as well as Mitri and Kim Duffy was with us for a little while, also contributing majorly. We designed architecture, figured out how to leverage open source code, with compliance with ASU, standards and requirements for software development. In January, we forked the code. This is a soft upstream connected fork, and also designed the double app support. And then February, March, we, did some code base updates, also in collaboration with, DCC, built Pockets UX and functional, additional functionality. And then in April, we kicked off, we already had a live app in both Google Play and apps, Google Play and, Apple app stores. And we kicked off a pilot with Ace Hardware, and wrapped it up in late March. So as you can see, the timeline was really quick. And this is all due to our very tight collaboration and the open source foundation that DCC provides. A few key wins, that I want to start with. So as I already mentioned, it took us 6 months to go from zero to live, with production standards compliant wallet in just 6 months. We only have one full-time developer supporting this work with, of course, major contributions from ASU internal DevOps, DCC, but Abhishek here, I think I saw your name on the call, was the one who really led the work. So that's all it took. And then after our testing with both ASU students and Ace Hardware frontline employees who range in age from 17 to 71, we achieved a 97% customer satisfaction score. So we think it's pretty nice. Continuing here, going in a little bit more detail, and I would like to, I'll run through this, and then if there are any questions, I'll shoot those over to Abhishek because he would be able to talk in more depth about this. So some of the UX enhancements that we implemented on top of Learner Credential Wallet's workflows were, we made a conscious choice after quite extensive discussions to drop Chappie and switch over to VC API because that provided massive UX simplification and it just allowed us to streamline onboarding massively for folks, basically removing, I think, three or four steps, which from all our conversations with just normal people who have used our wallet over time is really what's needed. We love the tech, but people also don't understand it and don't see value add of some of the things that we sometimes may take for granted. So this was our choice to make it accessible, more accessible and easy to use for people. We added onboarding workflow that walkthrough that sort of let people scroll through some screens and read a little bit of what this is, what it does, what the app does, what are verifiable credentials, things like that. And then we recently have reworked the share flow, which I'll demo in a little bit. Well, not demo, I have some screenshots, but you can also see it if you install the apps. We reworked the share flow based on user feedback that it was a little bit overly complex. or just, you know, had lots of buttons, lots of steps. So now it's quite simplified. In terms of feature additions, we added verifiable presentation, and we our team has worked, has contributed back to the open source code base to support verified presentation. We added, this didn't quite bullet correctly. We added filtering sorting. We are about to release smart resume and pipeline integrations. Folks can get ASU credentials directly from the Trusted Learning Network. And then to run two apps of the same code base, we added feature flags. So we now have two apps, like I said, My Skills Pocket and ASU Pocket, and they have the same design system, they have the same code base, and there's just a little switch that helps us switch between the two and tag features that we want in one or the other. So that allows us to really run lean and mean. I want to pause here. Anyone, I don't know, Dmitry, Abhishek, anything else you want to contribute to kind of express, contribute to this part?
Yeah. So just want to say a couple more comments, there. And first of all, I think that this project very much demonstrates the sort of ideal case situation with obviously always with asterisks and caveats, but the success story of open source, right? Like the ability for a team to come in from scratch and ship a mobile app, let alone two mobile apps. And we're going to return and talk about the two apps off of the same code base, which I think is an interesting use case. Just in a handful of months, like 5 months or whatever, is incredible. I also wanted to touch on the just as the comments with Chappie. So I think this points to we should do another session here on VC Edu on Chappie and getting requests and credentials in and out of wallets. Because the situation is constantly evolving, and what we've seen is that Chappie at the moment is really good for interfacing between applications and web wallets.
Yes.
In interfacing between applications and mobile wallets, there's a lot more challenges. Just because of the affordances that were given by the mobile operating system vendors are like very narrow. So we have to squeeze this whole world of credentials through like one or two narrow channels. Essentially, everything has to go through universal app links, URLs. So this definitely is a good reminder for me to come back on another session and talk about where we're at with the various wallet APIs. But back over to you.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, that was and we are, we're actually in the process of re-enabling Chappie and exploring how that might work in this case where, a mobile only wallet interfaces with a web app. We'll be happy to report on that. But yeah, very interesting topic. I think we get to talk about this in one of the future sessions. So yeah, so this is an example of kind of the reward share flow. You can also see the branding. Yeah, some of the things also here that are sort of new is the filtering and sorting functionality. And then on the previous slide, you did see that there's an option to go connect directly to TLN and get all ASU achievements. And then as other institutions onboard onto the Trusted Learning Network, we'll have more options. Some of the challenges and lessons learned, well, happy to report that we did resolve all of these. So balancing institutional needs, so kind of our pace and our needs with open source roadmap, some upstream dependencies that existed, the biggest one being the Bay React Native Update to Expo. So that was a topic of many conversations, of quite a few hours of development, and interacting and aligning with Dimitri's team. Resource sharing, of course, ownership of various tasks, working with multiple code bases and all of the dependencies that existed. And then reconciling issuer registries. So we did also stood up a very lightweight VC issuer on the Varamo framework to support my skills pocket, so that outside of ASU employment mobility use case. So then we had to go back to we went back to the VCC's issuer registry, cross register everything. that was fun. A few contributions that Pockets team made to Verifier Plus. So as I already mentioned, the functionality to display verifiable presentations within the within Verifier Plus, the issuer client version upgrade, and enhanced registry display logic. Abhishek, do you want to talk more about this briefly, because this is your domain?
Yeah, thanks, Mariana. So previously what Verifier Plus used to do was it used to display only single VC in terms of Verifier Plus. But what we, as part of some enhancement over ASU Pocket did was we provided an ability to, you know, generate a public link for multiple credentials at the same time by generating a verifiable presentation. So Verifier Plus already had the ability to store a verifiable presentation. What we did on top of that is we fetched that verifiable presentation from the database and added a logic to display on all of them one by one on the same page.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. And then what's next for us? We are starting to, so now both TLN and Pocket are in production. We're starting to roll it out to ASU students to get a variety of their credentials and carry them through life during their ASU learning journey, lifelong learning journey, and post-learning journey. We also are kicking off pilot with over 1,000 Rio Salado Community College learners who are obtaining National Retail Federation industry-recognized credentials through college, and then using them to find jobs in Pipeline AZ. So that's a big thing for us. We were also working on some fun AI stuff with AI job recommendations that I can talk about later. And DCC, do you guys want to talk a little bit about what's sort of on your immediate plan?
Sure, absolutely. And one of the things that I think relates to this is that we've been working on this issuer registry project with Credential Engine, which also we've been talking to ASU about. The multiple display of issuers in various registries has been like a key discussion as part of that work too. So there's a lot of overlap there as part of that. Things we're working on at the DCC, one is we're pretty heavily involved in a sprint right now related to the issuer registry project. This has to do with developing a prototype with recommendations for how issuer registries for learning and employment records could be standardized. And then we are adopting the learner credential wallet code and the verifiable web verifier code, Verifier Plus code, to use that, and which we will have, like, others will be participating in hosting prototype registries and do verification too. So we together we've all been talking about that a little bit more. And then also, actually something we're working on right now that will happen, I think, within a week or so, we're pretty close to launching it, is the addition of opening up baked badges in the learner credential wallet. If some of you are familiar with how open badges used to work, they were these images, right? The reason the images were primary is that the data was embedded into these images, and then they could be emailed around, and the data could be extracted and used. That didn't happen very much. Most open badges just get shared on web pages, and uploading those quote unquote baked images didn't work very well in platforms, because platforms like LinkedIn and Facebook strip that data out for obvious security reasons.
So, but we do see that the Credly platform is doing that. And so we are making sure that any badges that are in Credly could be imported into wallets like the Learner Credential Wallet and NASU Pocket and others when they're ready to shop there. So we think this is pretty important to sort of see, not to encourage the baking necessarily, but to encourage the fact that credentials can be moved out of those systems into more portable systems like wallets. Dimitri, anything else or anybody else on the DCC team that's here that would like to add that I haven't mentioned?
Yeah, I'll add a couple more things. So as the VC field sort of evolves and the specs mature, there's always an ongoing, there's a newer version of verifiable credential spec, right? With the move to 2.0, so we added support for those. As new signature methods and different key types mature, we're also adding support for those new signatures to the wallet, so that sort of thing. And one other exciting development in the area of edge wallets is this notion of adding cloud storage to edge wallets. So one of the major advantages to edge-only mobile wallets, and what do we mean by that? We mean that credentials and keys and DIDs are only stored on the mobile phone. There's no server component. So one of the reasons that ASU was able to deploy this so fast, and one of the reasons that GCC originally went with an edge-only design, is it makes writing the privacy policy real easy. It makes writing the terms and service and getting it by the legal teams real easy. It's like, what's your privacy policy? We literally don't have any of your data. It's all on your phone. That's it, right? So very short. So that's a huge advantage in terms of being able to get it out there and start getting feedback from the users. The downside, of course, is what about sharing? How do you share credentials, right? The convoluted analogy that I always love to make is with landline phones and answering machines. Landline phones were great. Infrastructure-wise, but of course, what happens when you're not at your phone? You want to be able to, you want to have a machine still be able to pick up the phone, record the messages so you can come back to it. Similarly, with edge-only wallets, your mobile wallet is not always on, not always accessible, and even when it is connected to the internet, there's no way for anybody else who you want to share a credential with to reach into your wallet and request something and so on. So long story short, one of the things that we had to do at DCC and at ASU as well was when it came to sharing credentials, we needed a limited cloud component only for public-only credentials. Again, to keep that privacy policy short and manageable. We have this notion of when you share a credential, it gets uploaded to a public server so that you can just email a link to a component. And by the way, one of the reasons I love being involved in these projects is each one of these features needs so much work in terms of wordsmithing, UI UX design. How do you write the help page, right? How do you, like, you get these credentials in front of students and in front of administrators, and there's just worlds of how do we explain this stuff? How do we handle errors? How do we handle successes? How do we show that the verification succeeded? How do we show the various ways in which verification can fail and still sort of get across the risk factor to the user? All those topics, very interesting. But back to the original question of, so what else is on our roadmap? So one of the exciting projects DCC's doing right now is exploring further this notion of wallet-attached storage. Of, okay, we did some early prototypes of this is how you share a credential. But then, can we take it further? Can we say, hey, since you already have a wallet that manages cryptographic keys for you, what does that mean for storing things in a shareable way in the cloud? We've demonstrated being able to share public only credential. Can we add down the line access control to it? Can we add sync between different wallets or different devices, right? Like, it's a very rich and interesting area to explore. And we look forward to, coming back and explaining our approach, sharing our findings in it and so on. So, definitely, going to be more to hear from us about wallet-attached storage. I think I'll pause there. Back to you, Carrie.
Oh, no, that's great. Thank you, Dimitri. I'll actually hand it back over to Mariana.
Okay. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, lots of these things are also on our minds. We are planning a research sprint or two in regards to selective disclosures and one-to-one sharings and all sorts of things like that. So I'm sure we'll talk a lot with you guys about this. I love that we have an opportunity to kind of build step by step, build this this future of what this actually looks like, of what all these uncertainties look like, and then have immediate, almost instant validation with the markets, with real users when we make these decisions. That's it. Q&A.
Yeah. So let's get some questions from the audience. I see one great question that I want to make sure doesn't get lost from Ildiko in chat. Though Ildiko, if I don't know if you want to hop on the queue to explain it more, but I think Ildiko is asking, hey, what, if I understand the question correctly, what's the data model here? Do we have a spec of how a credential needs to look in order to be displayed on these wallets? And the answer is, it's obviously evolving. At the moment, we started with Open Badges version 3, right? We started with OBV3 credentials just because it's well known in our corner of the VC field, the education field. And so if it's a verifiable credential, if it's a Open Badges version 3, it'll probably display in the wallet. Of course, we don't have support for all of the fields. There are many, many, many fields in Open Badges version 3. Adding support for each one will take some time on the roadmap. And we're also hoping that advances with the render method will be able to take care some of that heavy lifting. So, yeah. So we're starting with really basic credentials, such as Open Badges, and going from there. But please feel free to ask other questions.
Yeah, also to just quickly add to that. So we did launch Pocket with two. Oh, sorry. I have a contributor here. two schemas. So one is OBV3 for majority of credentials. And then the other one is the employment record to support that. So that is interesting. Dimitri helped us create the initial schema. And then we, based on again, real life feedback and sort of, fields and data that was necessary, we'll be iterating on it and figuring out how to make that look more aligned to, just what the folks perceive to be of value to share and what the verifiers perceive to be of value to know about the employment. So that is evolving and it's really fun.
Oh yeah, that's a good point. I completely forgot to mention that aspect, that there's some really, really exciting developments in the resume and employment and HR field in these wallets. So there's a support for the employment credential that ASU has shipped. There's a couple of roadmap items that Phil Long and the T3 Chamber of Commerce Foundation is working on. And it's relevant to us in the education field because it's sort of the complementary functionality between education and employment, and how the two interact, flow from each other. So really important. Ildiko, please.
Sorry, actually, you answered my question, and it would be great to keep an eye on this for the perceived value as well. You just said that what's the common denominator between what both like education providers and the employers find of high value, and how can that be forced kind of into these quite flexible, agile, and lightweight instruments so that everybody's happy.
And, you know, you're spot on. You touch on one of the most important and one of the most often asked questions, perceived value to stakeholders. At the end of the day, we've got these data models, we've got these protocols, we've got these apps, user interface, all this stuff. What's the perceived value to the stakeholders? What does this stuff actually do? And that's an ongoing challenge to us at DCC. Carrie can talk about that. And as well as, ASU, just want to highlight some of the work, both Mariana and Brooke, who's on the call, as well, specifically interfacing with various stakeholders on the greater network, greater community side, the employers, the admission desks, all of those. Yeah. Eternally interesting topic.
Yeah, I would be more than happy to talk to anyone about the findings that we had from our ACE hardware pilot. There's actually a few articles that were published based on that pilot that was very insightful. So happy to talk more about this at some point. I can find the links. Yeah, there. One of them is on my LinkedIn, but I'll grab it. Yeah.
Not to put you on the spot, but do you want to share a couple of findings that struck you, that are at the top of your mind?
Yes. So, let me just give me a minute. I'll pull up the deck.
Yeah, of course. Meanwhile, other questions that folks have. Comments, and so on. While Mariana is looking at the decks, I just want to comment real quick on one of the things that we often get asked at DCC is this notion of whether to rebrand, relabel a wallet, or use an existing app just unchanged, like Learn a Credential Wallet. And the answer we often give is really depends on your use.
Oh, go ahead, Mitchie. Sorry, I just shared the...
Sorry about that. Browser crashed. Just need to refind the tab. So real quick, what I was going for is this notion of should we use an existing app like ASU Pocket or Learn a Credential Wallet, or do we want to rebrand ours? And it solely depends on your constraints and your use cases. And so I think what's interesting with the ASU case is that they're taking that one step further. So they've, took the Learner Credential Wallet code base, made, added features, made modifications, but are exploring the rebranding part in shipping two different apps for two different audiences. One that is, university branded and one that is more general purpose. And we look forward to getting feedback on that from the field of what the benefits and downsides of that approach are. But over to you, Mariana, with the deck. Oh, and I see we've got Carrie on.
Yeah, I just shared a quote that we got from the HR manager at Ace Hardware, and I think that summarizes the employer sentiment very well. So this is basically the reasoning of why, and I'll just let you all read it, unless you want me to read it aloud. But basically, this kind of summarizes why they decided to participate. Ace does a lot of internal trainings, and they would literally send people, like, physical pins for, like, completing a training in paint, and they'll make them a paint superstar or something like that. I forgot the name. Hardware Hero is one of them. Really was amazed at how easy everyone found the wallet to use. It was very important to drive that sort of adoption from the top. So Ace folks confirmed that they did communicate through internal channels about this. They invited people individually at team meetings. And they had their own reasoning, right? They had a reason why they were interested in it. So that's really key in terms of sort of getting that adoption when the organizational leadership understands why they want this. And why they want it is that they want to do right for their people, right? They want to give them something tangible to take with them from their time at Ace. Folks said that encouraged them to compete with each other. It was very helpful for them to know all the things that they've done, to kind of, you know, brag around, feel good about their accomplishments, to hold something in their hands. So that's sort of the summary. But yeah.
Thank you, Carrie. You're on the queue.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that, Mariana. That's really great. I just sort of wanted to track back a little bit, circle back a little bit to what Dimitri was just saying about whether or not people should make their own wallet or not. And I think, Dimitri, what you said is completely true. And I think it's really interesting to see what organizations are doing with the open source wallet code that's available. Like, for instance, I am super impressed with the user experience with the Pocket wallet. I think it's beautiful. And I think that is something that has been sorely needed and something that should be witnessed by others so they can think about, you know, how that can work better, right? Because we have a lot of misunderstanding and more education to do in this space, right? We want to make it seem to be easy and perceived as usable to everybody, especially learners. So there's this opportunity to take this open source wallet code and explore that for anybody, right? If you demonstrate this to everybody, I think is very useful. One of the things we did, and sorry, not even, I'm just pausing there for, sorry, y'all. Another thing is that, you know, ASU added a lot of other functionality that really gave back to the wallet, which we also really appreciated with others who will benefit from. And so the GCC moved the wallet code over to the Open Wallet Foundation for a couple of reasons. One is so we could expand understanding and help people see what is going on in education with wallets. And also so we could expand the audience of those who may want to create their own wallets. We're also working on a project, by the way, with Case Western Reserve, who's building out an internship matching app out of the wallet. For me, though, from my perspective, I think that we don't need a whole world of different wallets. What we really need is to sort of start funneling what we would really like to see into existing applications and help get verifiable credentials and open badges everywhere, right? But I think this is the path to that. And I think it's really great. And so I just want to say thank you to ASU for trying to lead the charge on that.
Thank you so much, Carrie. Ildiko, you're up next.
Sorry, I'm going to go into semantics, but also it was very interesting to read this quote about having access to historical records about what somebody has accomplished, but also to know the difference between achievements, I guess, and maintained competence could be very different. People forget over time, but I think this is why it's important to have that common denominator and the minimum required data so we can track that a certain skill has been consistently practiced over multiple jobs held by an individual, which is why it's very interesting to see any use cases where wallet is collecting credentials over time from multiple sources. So lots of thought.
Thanks. Anybody else? Questions and comments as we're nearing the top of the hour? Yeah, and I just want to reiterate again what Gary said about the amount of wallets in the ecosystem. To add to it and to phrase it another way, I think we are in a good spot with wallets. Yes, there's an infinity of work still remains to be done, but we're in a good spot with wallets right now with regards to being able to get credentials in front of real people. So now what we really need, what we want people to focus on, what we want people to collaborate with the wallet teams is the other end, is the consumers of the credentials. That's what we need. We've got wallets, we've got issuer software, and we've got early prototypes of integrating it with the consumer. With the consumer side, with various web applications. So now we need more of those. We need more partnerships, more use cases of getting this out in the real world. So Sharon says in chat, did you mention we were doing OBV3 because it was familiar? Yes. So, and does that mean that we're experimenting with other VCs that aren't OBV3? And the answer is yes, definitely. So, as Mariana mentioned, SU Wallet is experimenting with a simple employment record that is not OBV3 based. I know that the HR Open Foundation, which is much like One EdTech, is another sort of smaller standards body working in a particular vertical. In this case, human resources and employment, they're working on a sort of container credential that is able to express a resume that contains employment records and open badges inside of it, right? So the LERRS, verifiable credential style. So those things are coming down the line. Of course, we have credentials from other ecosystems. We have the various state IDs coming out from California and other states. We have the U.S. Department of Homeland Security citizenship card, and I forget what exactly it's called, but it's the thing that gives you permission to work inside the U.S. That's a verifiable credential. That is not an open badge. So definitely, we expect that there's going to be a large field of complementary verifiable credentials beyond open badges. Other questions? Mariana, go ahead.
No, sorry. I actually did not have a question. I just wanted to say this is, yeah, I'm just excited for what's to come. We will be ready to at least explore how to add LERRS into the wallet. So that's on our roadmap as well when you guys are ready. I wanted to clap, actually. But again,
oh, right on, right on.
With me, so I'll clap now.
Right on. Thank you. All right. So unless there's other questions, we can wrap up here. Thank you, everyone. And talk to you again soon. And if you have any further questions about these or questions about integrating with any of these wallets or issuer platforms, please reach out to Carrie, to myself, to Mariana. Lots of people will be able to help you.
Okay.
All right. Thanks all. Bye.